Blog Talk Radio.
So, I type a text to a girl I used to see, saying that I chose this cutie pie with whom I want to be. And I apologize if this message gets you down. Then I CC'd every girl that I CC round town. And hate to see y'all frown, but I'd rather see her smiling. Wetness all around me, true. But I'm no island, peninsula maybe. Makes no sense, I know crazy. Give up all this pussy cat that's in my lap. No looking back, spaceship. Don't come equipped with rear view mirrors. They dip as quick as they can. The atmosphere is now ripped. I'm so like a pip. I'm glad it's night. So the light from the sun would not burn me on my bum when I shoot the moon. High jump the broom like a preemie out the womb. My partner yelling too soon. Don't do it. Reconsider. Read some litter. Sure on the subject. You sure? Fuck it. You know we got your back like chiropractic. If that bitch do you dirty, we'll wipe her ass out as in detergent. Now hurry, hurry, go on to the altar. I know you ain't a pimp, but pimp, remember what I taught you. Keep your heart through stacks. Keep your heart. Hey, keep your heart through stacks. Keep your heart. Man, these girls are smart through stacks. These girls are smart. Play your part. Play your part.
My bitch will choose it. Lover never fuck without a rubber. Never in the sheets like
welcome to the Clown Times, the Clown Hour. I'm Scott Burks, and I'm the creator of the Clown Times Sports Blog. You can find me on the web at www.theclowntimes.net, and that's Clown spelled with a K, by the way. You can find us on Facebook. Just do a search for the Clown Times to be able to find me. As I said earlier, our next guest tonight will be talking Chicago Bears. Football is part of our NFL Superfan series now that we are almost going on 2 months away from preseason. I know we all can't wait for the NFL to come back to us. But at any rate, the reason why I chose this song to lead off is because he is one of the more prolific undercover Mac Daddies in history. This is before he got married, of course. And by the way, I might as well just tell you who he is. He is Chris Lupe, one of my closest college friends. Chris, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, you see here, I know I didn't do you any justice by giving just a humble introduction, you know, to one of the greatest Mac Daddies of all time, before he got married, of course. But at any rate, I had to throw that in there just in case his wife is listening. But before we talk about your Bears and all the other good stuff that pretty much has you busy these days. Tell the folks where you're from and how long you've been a Bears fan.
Well, thank you, Scott, for that very wonderful introduction.
Oh, you're done.
I am from the great city of Chicago. I'm born and raised there on the South Side. 104th and Wentworth area. I've been a Bears fan all my life. I live in Dallas now, and since living here, I decided mistakenly to become a homer and and follow the Cowboys, but that hasn't been working out for me.
That's what you get.
I got exactly what I deserve. And so as of last season, I decided, you know, consciously after some comments that the general manager of the Cowboys made, that it was no longer wise for me to follow them. Instead, I went ahead and followed my heart. And ironically, that made life so much easier once I decided to, you know, totally recommit myself back to the Bears. So I am a lifelong Bears fan. I'm recommitted Bears fan. And I will be a Bears fan until they change their name or something.
You're right. Now, first of all, thank you. And I was about to pray for you about you becoming a Cowboys fan for some reason. I thought I had to fly across country and get an anointing cloth and just, you know, just try to anoint you and try to get you to a prayer altar or something, an altar call.
Let's just say I saw the light and realized the error in my ways and decided to do what I knew was right. You know, I think all of us have had moments like that in our lives that, you know, different, you know, obviously for different reasons, but that happened to be one of mine. I saw the error in my ways and came back home.
Now, what did the management say? I know you told me this a long time ago, but what was exactly what was said, well, amongst other things, that caused you to say, you know, this Cowboys thing is not really my speed, if you will?
Well, at the risk of, hopefully I want to be able to, if you do a podcast on the Cowboys, I'd love to come back and do that one. But
I have a long line of folks I need to talk trash to, but go ahead.
Okay. I'll go ahead and steal their thunder then.
There you go.
It was when the general manager of the Cowboys said that when he was asked about the, how do you say this gently, the lack of production from, the lack of playoff wins, playoff appearances by the Cowboys.
Yes.
He was asked, you know, what any other general manager's performance ranking would be. He said he would have fired him a long time ago. So the question was asked, well, how come, you know, will you get the Cowboys as general manager? He said, no. He said, I'll be the general manager as long as I'm here. So once he made that statement and I saw it in print, I realized this team has no, you know, there's no hope for this team to succeed under this particular type of management style. And so at that point I said, well, you know, maybe this is not right for me to be a Cowboys fan. I mean, I understand, the stadium down here is beautiful. The marketing is great.
Amen.
They've picked up a lot of fans in California, picked up a lot of fans in South Central Texas.
Oh, of course.
But they're not going to win in North Carolina. They still, pose themselves as America's team. But they're not going to win unless they get some people in there who understand how football works. And
exactly.
I will respect somebody. As far as the marketing genius and all of the other things that the Cowboys organization can do with their management team, excellent. Excellent, excellent marketing. You know, the stadium is wonderful. Exactly. But as far as, you know, picking players that, you know, for example, Rashard Mendenhall, where did he go? He didn't go to the Cowboys. He went to the Steelers. I had someone else on the tip of my tongue who ended up going to another team that the Cowboys passed on. You can't really win that way. It's been proven for, since 1996 that you can't win that way. So instead of me stressing out on Sundays watching, you know, the Cowboys get really close to doing something great and all of a sudden key fumble happens, interception happens, you know, not moving. Something happens that's kind of boneheaded.
Instead of
me, you know, stressing out about it, now I can say, oh, no big deal. I don't care. I follow somebody else. But now, you know, I can watch football on Sundays and not stress out. I can sleep during the Cowboys games and not care what the outcome is. Feels so good now. Life is so much better. So as soon as they decide to do like Robert Kraft does and let football people make the decisions, or like the Rooney family, let football people make the decision and you say okay and sign the checks, I'm done.
There you go.
You know, I'm done.
Well, thank God that you're done, and I'm done with this Cowboys talk as well. So let's get back to your Bears.
Eradicate
the Dallas Cowboys vernacular from this conversation. Okay. Great.
I'm okay with that.
All right. So, good. Thank you, Lord. So, basically, your boys, I think, finished 10-6 last year. You know, you guys had a winning season. You know, you guys start off well. Then you guys sustained some injuries here, and there's a bad luck. And guys came this close to making the playoffs, you know, instead of losing out to sorry Minnesota instead. So, basically, What is your assessment? Would you characterize it as a failure? And just give me your point of view of the season last year.
Well, looking back at last season, I don't look at it as a failure. I thought that they were right where they needed to be. The hurdle that they needed to jump over was the Packers. They needed to beat the Packers at least one time. And there was a lot of flack about Lovie Smith losing his job after getting the Bears within one game of the playoffs. And I was one of them that didn't, I didn't really appreciate the decision.
Sure.
I mean, looking back at the Bears season, they only lost three games in a row one time. Okay. So they won most of their games, you know. So whoever is looking at that and thinking that they were losers, they were not. You know, they even beat the Cowboys on Monday night, which was a good thing. All right. So, I mean, they lost two games one time, and those were the two playoff teams, the Texans and the 49ers. And they lost three games in a row. That was one overtime game to Seattle and once to Minnesota, which you expect, you know, they were at Minnesota. You expect that to happen in the division every once in a while. They lost to the Packers.
Right.
You know, which was the last game, which was a game that they really needed, you know, in order to seal a playoff berth. They didn't.
Right.
They beat everyone who they were supposed to. You know, they just lost to the Packers. You know, so I think that, you know, for the team to, you know, you can tell a team that's given up on a coach by the way they don't play. Okay.
Yeah.
This team,
right.
You know, they had they had leadership on the inside, you know, with Urlacher and some of the other guys who were there, Lance Briggs, you know, Julius Peppers. They had leadership. They had really good quarterback and wide receiver play, which is something that they hoped to get when they brought Brandon Marshall to the team. They got that. They didn't get as much production from Matt Forte, but part of that goes to what I believe were offensive line problems. But
right.
They were 10-6, you know, and they were
right.
better than – a lot of other teams in the league, and yeah, they played their tails off at the end. So I would say, in my assessment, they were in a good direction, you know, at the end of last
right.
season. Yeah, that's what I believe.
Well, you know, I agree with a lot of that. I think it's a lot of bad luck, and by bad luck, I mean injuries. You know, the injury to Jay Cutler came at the worst time. You know, not to say that injuries – come at good times, you know what I'm saying? But basically, when you had that stretch last year, like that Monday night game against the 49ers, and where you guys got violated on national television.
Yeah, that was bad.
And that stretch right around that point where you guys were, you know, you guys started off pretty well. You know, like you guys have a good start this season, you know. And it looked like, you know, it's going to be you and Green Bay and everybody else. And then all of a sudden, the injuries came along. And then, you know, Minnesota took advantage of that soft schedule, that they had a soft spot in the schedule. And, you know, just found themselves propelled past you guys. And you guys fought to the very end. To the very end. But those injuries to Jay Cutler and about mid-season, well, after mid-season. But Matt Forte being banged up, that was a death nail, I thought. I mean, you know, he's your offense. He must make you guys go. And the offensive line didn't do y'all any favors either. And plus, you know, Mike Tice, your offensive coordinator, didn't do y'all any favors either, because his play calling was suspect. You know, I thought that he made Jay Cutler drop that one too many times behind the poorest offensive line. And that got him killed, basically. And he got and failure to adjust the blocking schemes for Matt Forte to give him some holes to run through, and just let him be the playmaker that he is. He got banged up, and and even though Brandon Marshall had a good season, he had over 118 catches. Had exactly 118 catches actually. It was awful, not in the end, because bad breaks, bad injuries, and frankly, bad coaching is what got you. Had you guys barely missing on the playoffs. So that's disappointing for, like, to me, because it cost a good brother and Lovie Smith his job. And I don't know if they could do any better than Lovie Smith did under the circumstances the past few seasons. So I guess it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, how do you let? You can't. Yeah, I would agree that, you know, the injuries hurt them. But then again, that's going to happen to any team. You know, and all you can do is do the best you can, you know, through the injuries.
Okay.
And I'll say this, you know, they always talk in the NFL, you always say your points were good about bad coaching. You know, that has to be addressed. and also the fact that, you know, in December, they lost the first three games in December. You know, there were five games, if I'm not mistaken, in December that they played.
Right.
They won two of them. And the thing is, you really do have to be playing your best ball in December in order to get on that role that you need to get to have in order to get into the playoffs. But at the same time, I mean, the games that they lost, you know, they could have been toss-ups either way. I mean, to Minnesota, you know, again, you know, you beat them at home, they beat you at home. You know, that's you know, kind of expected sometimes. They lost to Green Bay, which is a heartbreaker. I mean, the thing is, again, they should have beaten Green Bay at least once. Guess what?
Right.
They had them at home, and they let Green Bay get away from them. You know, and Seattle, that was an overtime game. And again, and Seattle was on a major roll anyway last season. They were hard for anybody to beat. So,
right.
I mean, just looking at it, you know, in its totality, you know, maybe they should have just let Mike Tice go. Or maybe, you know, he needs somebody, he needs some help. You know, I think okay, I agree with that. And I wonder if they just believe that no, seriously, I agree, you know. And and you know, the offensive line play was bad. You know, where was the offensive coach, you know, for that? Maybe they just didn't have the players. Maybe they were bitten by injuries. I mean, there's lots of things, you know, looking in hindsight that, you know, they should have dealt with at the time. But then again, we weren't, you know, I wasn't there, you know, in the office and trying to figure out, you know, who was doing what and what they were dealing with. I mean, there may have been some people who were playing with injuries that just weren't reported because, you know, they needed to get out there and suit up because there was no one else. I mean, I really, who knows? But I wonder if, you know, the McCaskies and powers that be felt that they just needed a personality change, you know, in the organization. And, you know, just bring in new personalities and breathe some new life into it and see what they have. I mean, they let the whole entire coaching staff go. You know, they bring in Mark Trestman, who, you know, his recent experience is CFL, yes, but, you know, we also can't forget that he was on a Raiders team that won the Super Bowl. And he's also been on several other offensive teams, you know, that have had good production. We can't forget that about his pedigree. And also, I mean, sometimes it just takes a new breath of, you know, a new voice, you know, for people to hear that maybe they'll play differently. I think the loss of Urlacher is going to hurt them because that's veteran leadership that you just let out of the door, you know.
Right.
That's what I think about that. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, I was going to ask you, well, first of all, do you think Urlacher's done? Do you think it's totally done?
No, just, I mean, no, I don't. I think that I really wish that a team, he needs to go someplace, you know, at least for a year or two where there's a team that needs some veteran leadership. I mean, you think about Urlacher and his, I mean, what trouble did he ever get into, you know?
Right.
All he's done is had a positive effect on the team that he's played with. You know, he's really enthusiastic. He's, you know, got the players to play around him. He's a really good field general. Somebody needs to pick him up. They'll be successful. I mean, who knows? They might be one player away, you know, they might, or just one player away on defense. You know, they need him to come in and shore it up. Now, I know he you know, had some injuries, but then again, you know, who hasn't, especially, you know, with his tenure in the league.
You know who I think would need a guy like Urlacher? I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers would need someone like him. You know, Tampa's very young. They're up and coming. They had a decent year last year. They were 7-9, I think. But they need someone like him, a leader, a coach on the field. And, you know, I don't think he'd have any problems getting along with the coach, Rick Shiano down there. I think that. You know what? You know, I think that would be good for that Tampa Bay defense and for their locker room. You know, to get the leadership. And then it's too bad that no one has signed Urlacher. I think that's a great injustice. You know, and I blame Bears management, frankly, for letting him twist it and win like that and not taking care of him. Like, you know, because he gave the Bears all those great years. Played her. You know, played his ass off, let it out, let it all out on the field, you know. And that's, I mean, I know that's the cold nature of the business, that there's the NFL. I know that there are no guaranteed contracts. I know they are as good as if they were written on a piece of tissue paper. But I thought that the Bears would have done better by him. You know what I'm saying? I thought they'd do a little bit better by him. That's all I got to upset about that. I mean, because it really, even, and I'm not a Bears, big Bears fan, but it really upsets me to see him done like that.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And the thing is, it's a shame that there's no loyalty in sports, you know, because they could have given him another couple of years, 2 or 3 years,
especially
for his leadership, even if he wasn't a starter. I mean, they could have negotiated something to keep him around because, I mean, that's, you know, you talk about having a history and legacy and somebody who's proud, you know, about the organization. That's the type of attitude you want the rookies to have. You want the second-year, third-year players, or even some of the ones that are coming from other teams, you know, free agents. You want them to find out, you know, this is the Bear way. This is how we do it. I mean, there were times when Urlacher did stand up and say, this is not the Chicago Bears way. You know, I can't remember who he was addressing when he said that. But the thing is, you need to have someone like that who's going to stand up for the culture that you're trying to develop. I mean, he was on the Super Bowl team, you know, that in 2006, 2007, that made it to the Super Bowl. He was on that team. You know, he's not, you know, part of any part of the culture where the team was a losing team, okay, which I can tell you from personal experience, there was a culture there where the Bears were losers, okay? He doesn't have any he's not part of that, you know, and he's, you know, from the last Super Bowl year, which is something that you don't want to necessarily lose, in my opinion, but then again, you know, they didn't ask me for my opinion when they decided to let him go.
Right. They never do. They never ask for the fans' opinion.
They don't.
Especially ones that make sense.
I mean, because the thing is still, you think about it, one of the goals of a team is to put butts in seats. Okay?
Yeah.
They're going to come to see Urlacher play, you know. They'll come to see him on the sidelines as long as he's part of the team. You let him go? How many people – know that you just lose. I mean, how many people had his jersey? You know, there are people wearing his jersey here. You know, so, I mean, he's very popular, you know, and the thing, again, like you go back to the fact that he's got no negatives against him, you know, nothing. You know, he's never been in trouble, never really, I mean, there was only, like I said, maybe less than a handful of times that I'm aware of that he spoke out of turn. But then again, who doesn't? All of us have done that in the past, you know, said something silly. He just says it in front of microphones.
You know what? I'm looking at the depth chart right now on defense. Now that you mentioned people coming to see Urlacher, they have middle linebacker. You guys have DJ Williams, a middle linebacker right now. Now, I'm not calling DJ Williams a scrub. Exactly. So, you know, the thing is, I don't think he's a scrub, but, I mean, come on. How is he going to step in and assume the leadership that Urlacher left? I mean, now the defensive leaders are like Julius Peppers, Peanut Tillman, and probably Lance Briggs. You know, I mean, who's going to be the dog in the middle? I mean, I just don't understand that. But, you know, what I know. I'm just trying to be
traditionally with the Chicago Bears, you know, he was a middle linebacker, right? That's been the most, the strongest position for the Chicago Bears, you know, since 85. You know, so now you let the next Hall of Fame middle linebacker from the Bears go. That's not a popular decision in this great state. It's not a popular decision. So first you let the coach go, and then you let, you know, him go, his greatest proponent. You know, I don't know that's we'll see. I mean, they'll have to survive now. But you know, again, I think there's going to be a team out there that gets really lucky, you know, to have Brian Urlacher on their team. And you're right, no one's picked him up yet. But just like no one, I mean, Dwight Freeney just got picked up. You know, his training camp hasn't started.
Yeah,
there's a chance that he gets picked up. And there's another veteran out there, too, that needs to get picked up. Yeah.
He'll get picked up. It's just a matter of, like I said, I think a team that's going to pick him up will be one that needs veteran leadership on defense, or a team that needs that last bit of leadership to get him over the hump. Who knows? But, yeah, I could easily see him in a place like Tampa. I mean, I think he'll do well for that team. I think he'll fit well in the locker room and bring those young guys on defense, you know, to play up to another level. So I think he's going to get signed. It's a matter of when. He can't sit out the season.
And he'll be healthy, too. That's the good thing. Whoever gets him will get, you know, physically healthy Brian Urlacher, you know, which is a force to be reckoned with.
Exactly. Healthy and hungry and a lot to prove. A whole lot to prove. So
we touched on
what happened with the Bears last year, what went right, what went wrong for them, so to speak. So how do you feel about, like, you know, what do you think needs to be done for them to make the playoffs? I mean, they've been knocking on the door the last couple years, in particular last year. So what do you think needs to be done for the Bears to kick that bad boy down, that door down, and just waltz right in the playoffs?
They here's just the way the league is structured right now. Especially in their division, they have to find a way to beat the Packers. Okay, they don't have to beat them both times. They have to beat them once. Okay, they have to find a way. That's the hump that they have to get over. And the thing is, here, we all know this. You know, anyone who follows football knows that the Packers don't have the notoriously strong defense. Okay.
Right.
So they have to come up with this game, with a game plan to get 1 point more than the Packers at the end of regulation, because they're
right.
not. Because the thing is, unless they can, you know, I mean, the Packers, you know, have been playing at a high level, you know, for like the last 4 or 5 seasons. There's no, I mean, they have a really good organization that keeps bringing people in who can play. They have, you know, arguably one of the top 3 quarterbacks in the league, okay, who the offensive line is just good enough to keep him upright so he doesn't really get beat up. He hasn't been out with injuries. And they've got a good offensive scheme, okay, one of the top, I would say, what, one of the top 4, 5, 6 offenses in the league, even if they don't have a good running game. They keep, so, but their defense is suspect. And we've seen them get torched on defense and lose games, especially last season, because their defense couldn't hold anybody in. The Bears have to find a way to win, to beat the Packers. That's number, at least one time. That's number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, I would say, is that the Bears need better offensive line play, because Jay Cutler, he can't throw ball if he's sitting on his backside.
Right.
Matt Forte can't run the ball if there are no holes, which we kind of touched on earlier. So what's going to help them beat the Packers? Better offensive line play, because, you know, they need to free up some space to help these guys do what they do best. Maybe Brandon Marshall can catch 115 balls instead of just – maybe he can catch 140 balls instead of 118. Maybe there's another receiver that can catch 80 balls because they're able to run the ball and use play action, or just to have a receiver who has time to get open. And maybe Jay Cutler wouldn't get frustrated because he's not and beat up and talk bad about his lineman because he's able to stand up and throw the ball. They got to have better offensive line play.
Mm-hmm.
Those are two things, I think, right off the bat that could help them get to the playoffs. I mean, they were already close. One game, you know, is what kept them out. 10-6 is a really good record, whether you make the playoffs or not. You know, especially with so much parity in the league.
Right. Right. Well, I'll say this. Statistically, you guys were not bad at all in defense. You guys were 8th against the pass, 8th against the rush. It's just that, like you touched on earlier, it's like bad luck and bad timing, particularly against the Packers. I mean, I remember the game in Lambeau where it was a defensive struggle. Until, you know, turnovers happened, and the Bears broke it up. I mean, the Bears, I'm sorry, the Packers broke it up late, and which really crushed your playoff hopes right there. And, you know, I just think what if. I mean, you guys, even personnel-wise, you guys are pretty still decent on defense. You're getting Peanut Tillman for a full season, and the other cornerback, I forget his name, I'll tell my hair quick, but you know, you guys got talent. Julius Peppers is still lined up on the D line for you guys. You still have Lance Briggs and whatnot. So, I mean, you guys got it there. It's just that you got to go with a mental hump, man. That mental hump is the Green Bay Packers.
Exactly.
So, I mean, So like I said, you know, and like you said, just cut down the turnovers, but just got to find a way to keep Jay Cutler upright. You guys were like, I think, 7-2 at one point last season before he got hurt.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the wheels kind of, like I said, I was doing that stretch where you guys had tough teams throwing the 49ers. that Monday night game, and you guys got boat raced, and it kind of went down from there. So, you know, Jason Campbell obviously wasn't the answer at backup. And, you know, and I mean, it's fitting that he's gone along with Lovie Smith, unfortunately, but, you know, y'all offensive coordinator, I mean, didn't do any favors. I mean, you protect the quarterback. You guys got a bad offensive line. At least have him go back three-step drops. Don't let him drop way back. Or at least put him in a shotgun and give him a chance. You know?
Exactly.
Damn Mike Tice. I mean, come on, man. But anyway, enough about him. Enough, he's gone. And who the hell knows he's going to get hired by another team in any capacity. But, I mean, I don't know, like, you guys, if you paid attention to the Bears draft or not, but you guys only had 6 picks. Did you come away, like, you know, jumping up with, down for joy with the draft? I mean, I know the NFL draft is a crapshoot, but do you think they kind of addressed what they needed personnel-wise, or are you just waiting to see what happens?
Well, I would say position-wise, I would say they drafted for need. First guy they picked, you know, Kyle Long, offensive guard, okay, which, you know, earlier I said they needed offensive line help. They picked, with the first pick, they picked offense. Then they picked, you know, two linebackers, which, again, they have to try to find some replacement for the great big hole that they, the great big pothole that they just dug themselves, you know, letting Urlacher go. Then they picked another, they picked an offensive tackle, then a third linebacker. You know, so, again, they went offense and defense, you know, searching for something. And, oh, by the way, they drafted a wide receiver. You know, who knows how, you know, he'll pan out. But they did address the fact that if defensive key in on Brandon Marshall, they need someplace else to go. So I would say, and the thing is, I mean, they're solid at quarterback. As long as Jay Cutler, I mean, he's not perfect, you know, but then again, who is? But, you know, he's accurate enough, you know, that if you keep him upright – and he's got Brandon Marshall, who they have really good chemistry together. Yeah, and they have Matt Forte, who now he'll have another season. You know, he's had another offseason to, you know, let his leg, you know, heal. So they've got the pieces. You know, and I would say, yes, they drafted, you know, some of the areas that they needed to address in order to meet some of those needs. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
I really hope that all 6 guys, you know, pan out for them.
Well, I'll say this. I'm glad that they got drafted an offensive tackle with the first pick. They had to do an offensive guard, rather. But, I mean, they needed someone on the offensive line. They needed a warm body, more than a warm body. They got someone with talent, finally, to go on the offensive line. And maybe that 5th-round pick that Jay Mills did out of Louisiana Tech, the other offensive lineman, would do well. But either way, they need some young blood because all those injuries they sustained on top of it being a poor offensive line, that was bad news. That's bad news for your offense. So let's go from the negatives to the unknown to the positives. Look at your schedule next year. I'm sure you looked at it when the schedule came out, like every other NFL fan does. How do you think you guys will do? How do you think you guys will do it just looking at the schedule?
Well, they're going up against the AFC North and the AFC West.
Yeah.
And it looks like they've got some NFC East teams sprinkled in there. Actually, all of the NFC East teams. All right. Cincinnati lost.
Need some prayer?
this is going to be a tough one. I mean, if you just look down at first 8 games. I mean, New Orleans Saints, the Giants.
Right.
I would say that we just have to pray that they don't look at this as a rebuilding year. I mean, I don't see any breaks in this schedule. I mean, even, you know, now with Detroit, you know, some of the moves they've made, they're a tough out. You know, Cincinnati's been a playoff team 2 years in a row. Minnesota, even though they're still trying to figure themselves out, you know, if Christian Ponder can actually play quarterback, they're going to win. Let's just say they're going to split with the Bears, so that's, you know, one win, one loss. Pittsburgh Steelers, You know, they had a down year, but guess what? You know, their quarterback stays healthy. That's going to be a tough out. Detroit, you know, depending on, you know, what happens with them, that could, it could possibly – I see them splitting with Detroit. I don't see them beating Detroit both times this year. St. Louis, that should be an easy out. But then again, they see them in the second half of the season, and they've got a really good coaching staff. And, oh, by the way, they have Sam Bradford is a pretty good quarterback. Okay.
Yeah, and Jeff Fisher.
So Cleveland is
Jeff Fisher.
Exactly. You know, who's a proven coach. You know, and he's building, you know, his team. They're allowing him to build his team. Cleveland might be the only. Cleveland is probably an easy out. I can't believe they're playing the Cowboys again. They'll win that game, so they don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, well, they'll win that game.
They'll win that one. They'll beat Cleveland. Mm-hmm. So, and then they play Philadelphia, which, you know, no one really knows what Philadelphia is going to do. Let's just go ahead and give that one to the
that
Bears.
That should be Philly. Yeah.
So,
and
I see the Bears.
Last game of the season.
Exactly. And at that point,
Green
you know, honestly, just looking at this schedule the way it is, just going off of what I know about each team, if they make it to 8-8, they will have done something really well. I don't see them even finishing 500 with this schedule.
Well, I say this,
I can't look at it and pick eight games. I know they're gonna win.
Yeah. Well, I'll give you the 8 games right quick if you don't mind.
Go for it.
Let's start at the top. Well, I think you guys get a tough Cincinnati team at week one, but you get them at home. And which means that barring any catastrophic injuries during preseason, the guys are coming with a healthy Jay Cutler, a healthy Matt Forte, a healthy Brandon Marshall, healthy bodies on defense. Hopefully the offensive line will start to gel a little bit. And like I said, you're playing at home. And you guys typically get off to very strong starts. Okay? Like just like last year, you were 7-2 before the injury bug just bit the hell out of you guys. And I think you can beat Cincinnati. I think you will beat Cincinnati first game of the season. Second game of the season, you guys get Minnesota at home again, okay? I think you guys match up well with Minnesota. I agree with you. You won't sweep Minnesota, but I don't see you guys losing to them at home. Now, the tricky part comes in the next 3, 4, 5 weeks.
Right.
That Sunday night game, you're in Pittsburgh. That's who knows what's going to happen with that. You belted Ben Roethlisberger more than likely. A pissed off Steelers team that underachieved last year.
Yep.
And I'm still pissed at it, but that's for another podcast. and then follow that with Detroit on the road. And Detroit plays y'all tough. They just do. No matter how bad they are, they play y'all tough.
Exactly.
And then the next 3 weeks are just murderous, man. You get New Orleans at home, but you get New Orleans, the high-powered New Orleans offense.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys get the Giants on a Thursday night game.
Mm-hmm.
At home, but you guys get the Giants. I think the Giants will be bouncing back a little bit this year. And you go to Washington to face RG3 and company. Yeah, that's a tough 5-week stretch, my friend.
Yeah, I would see them 4-4 at the bye week. I could see them beating. I mean, Washington, you flip a coin. I mean, I still think that they could beat Washington. Washington still has some areas where they need to build.
That's fair. Yeah,
I would say I could see Cincinnati and being Cincinnati, Minnesota. And possibly Detroit, you know. But, yeah, you're right. You know, Washington, they could possibly beat Washington.
Yeah. But like I said, you guys tend to start off pretty well. So, but, you know, at least, as I said, the good news is you guys get a bye week after that murderous stretch.
Right.
But that's short-lived because guess what comes Monday night? A date in Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much, Roger Goodell, the schedule makers. but then they give you guys a break. You host Detroit. That should be a win. But then you get the Super Bowl champion, Baltimore Ravens, coming into town. You know. Now, Here's what I think would happen with that game. Baltimore is off of an incredible high. You wouldn't know it here because this is Redskins country, but at any rate, where I live. But Baltimore's coming off great season, obviously, because they're world champs. The jury's still out on Joe Flacco and his leadership abilities. Even though on paper Baltimore's better because they're younger, and they draft well as always, so they got talent oozing out the wazoo. But with no Ray Lewis to retirement, no Ed Reed, no Bernard Pollard, no Anquan Ball on offense, they lose something that you can't really quantify on the box score. That's leadership.
That's true.
And they're going to be interesting to watch. And when I'm supposed to hopefully get a Ravens podcast in the next couple of weeks, that's one of the big things I'm going to talk about with them. But anyway, I say all that to say that I don't think you have to worry as much with Baltimore coming to town as other people worry about. That's just my opinion. Then you guys host St. Louis. You go to St. Louis. Go to St. Louis. St. Louis is tough, yo. Yeah, I think they're going to be very tough this year. I mean, I think Jeff Fisher, as we molded them in the mold of his old Titans teams, tough, hard, smack you around. They'll bully you. You know, that was his old Titans teams. And I think he's bringing that to St. Louis. And I think they're going to transfer him right into that right before our eyes this season. I think that's when you'll see it happen. These guys go to Minnesota again. Play Minnesota again, this time at their place. Hopefully you guys will be able to slow down Adrian Peterson this time.
Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, he's a beast. He's a god.
hopefully he stays healthy so we can all watch.
Yeah. He's just a man. I mean, there's no question about it. Then you guys get Dallas at home. That's Monday night. You guys should beat Dallas.
That's a win.
You beat down Dallas at their place last year, so you'll beat them down at home. You should win in Cleveland. You should win in Philly. And, of course, they close out the season against your favorite pals, the Green Bay Packers. So
Green Bay Packers.
Basically, that's not bad. That's not a bad prediction, 8-8. I'd say 8-8, 9-7. But at any rate, one last thing, Chris. First of all, I appreciate this time. This has been fun. But I'm going to ask you this. Did you go to the Bears game last year when it came to Dallas?
I did not. I can't remember where I was, but I didn't go to the game.
Okay. Well, that's cool. I was just curious because, it's all good. Well,
I mean, part of it, the dynamics of the stadium down here, it's not really, I mean, in my opinion, if I want to watch the game, I might as well stay at home. I know this, you didn't ask this, but the stadium here is more conducive to watching, unless you have a seat in the lower bowl, it's more conducive to watching it on the screen. You know, if you're sitting up in the upper bowl, you're watching screens. You know, if you're sitting out, if you're in the standing room only section, they call it the party pass section, you're watching
Chris, I got 20 seconds, man, but sorry about that. But we'll get you on a different podcast talking more about your hatred of the Cowboys next time, my friend. Thank you very much, my friend, for joining us, man. Appreciate it.
Okay, no problem.
Cares, man. All right, peace out.
All right.
That was my man, Chris Lupe. This has been the Clown Hour. I'm Scott Burks. And until next time, be good. Peace, love, and hair grease. 06. I'm out.